Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
By the way, here's some fun you can have this morning. In the next hour, at 11:30, we'll be talking about public art in New York City. Now, you often see it in the summer, Christo's orange installation, the gates in Central Park, remember that? Or the pianos or the bulls being placed all over town, the cows. And we're collecting your ideas, no matter how wacky, for using the city as a backdrop for art. So post them on our page at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show, or get ready to call in with your ideas for using any part of New York City as a backdrop for some kind of public art. We'll do that at 11:30, right about an hour from now. But right now, we continue our May weekly series with Dr. Meg Jay, author of the new book, The Defining Decade, Why Your 20s Matter, and How to Make the Most of Them Now. Today's topic, This Is Your Brain on 20s. We'll take a look at how your brain changes toward the decade and over the course of the decade and what it means for the rest of your life and, for that matter, for society. So, Dr. Jay, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Great to be back.
So 21 is considered the age of adulthood. Are our brains not fully formed by then?
Our brains are not fully formed by then. And, you know, most people have probably heard you can grow and change your brain throughout the course of your life. We know that now. But we also know that your brain caps off its last growth spurt during your 20-something years. That's when the frontal lobe matures completely. And that doesn't happen until sometime around the mid-20s.
And what are the implications of this? For example, you point out that the brain develops from bottom to top and from back to front.
Right.
So in essence, the basic functions like breathing come first, obviously, then the more advanced functions like rational thought and judgment. So when you talk about the frontal lobe, for example, what is it that's fully formed, what's not, in terms of what they do?
What does that mean? Yes. Well, the frontal lobe is the most forward part of the brain. It's the most forward-thinking part of the brain, and it's literally the most forward part of the brain right behind the forehead. But what's interesting and important for 20-somethings is that this is the part of the brain where we face uncertainty, and that's pretty much what 20-something life is all about. It's where we process time, anticipate consequences, plan for the future. It's where we think in terms of probability. It's really where we tackle problems that don't have right answers. And that's what being a 20-something is all about.
So the pleasure-seeking emotional brain is ready to go when you're 21, but the forward-thinking frontal lobe is still a work in progress.
That's right. So all those parts of our brains that want to do what feels good now and seek pleasure and have fun, that's been ready to go since you were a baby. But the part of the brain that reins that in and thinks about what are going to be the consequences, what's the probability of this working out for me, what should I do next, we're still working on that very much into our 20-something years.
So listeners, if you want to call in on this, if you're in your 20s or have ever been in your 20s, we want to hear about your brain or the brains of your loved ones. Specifically, how do you think your brain was different at age 21 versus 29, say? You don't have to be a neuroscientist to answer the question or to ask one. 212-433-WNYC for Meg J. 212-433-9692. You're a clinical psychologist. How do you treat your patients in their 20s differently from those who are older, and is it based at all on your understanding of brain science?
It absolutely is. I know that most of my 20-something clients are still developing the coping skills and the tools that they need to manage their emotions, because the frontal lobe is the part of the brain that's going to help you calm yourself down, that's going to help you think 5 and 10 years in advance, that's going to help you think about the consequences of your actions. And I assume that most 20-somethings don't have all that figured out and that they really need to have tools and skills to be able to put those things into practice. And so I work very concretely with 20-somethings in that way when they need it, and they often do.
You write in your book that many of your clients are confused by the fact that maybe they were valedictorians in college, but they're unable to make decisions about who to date.
Right. Well, these are really different skill sets. Think about it, that doing well in college is about solving problems that have right answers, and there's syllabi, and there are clear deadlines, and nothing goes on longer than a semester. But when you're out of school, figuring out who to partner with, there isn't a syllabus for that. There aren't right answers for that, and this is going to be a decision that has an impact on your life long after or much longer than a semester. So these are really different kinds of questions. One is more black and white, and the other is much more gray. And I find that's what 20-somethings talk with me a lot about, is how hard it is to live in the gray areas, in the 50 shades of gray. It's not as great as the book that they're reading.
Todd in Hoboken, you're on WNYC. Hi, Todd.
Oh, hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I'm 24 years old. When I was, I actually read an article about this like a long, long time ago when I was in high school, about when I was a freshman. And I actually used it to my advantage because if I ever got in any trouble, which I sometimes did, I used to use it as my excuse. You know, say I was late or I did a little white lie to my parents, I'd be like, well, you know, my frontal lobe's not fully developed.
Oh, I'm sure that went over. Yes, Todd, thank you very much. But Your Honor, my frontal lobe isn't fully developed until my mid-20s.
Well, you know what? Todd is bringing up a great point, is that the research has been around, people have heard of it, and a lot of people are getting sick of it. They're saying, okay, so 20-something brains aren't developed yet. Well, life is still happening, and the laws still apply, and the rules still apply. Yeah. So I think what's maybe more important about the fact that the brain is still developing is to recognize this is really a sweet spot. It is a developmental sweet spot to change who you are, to change how you manage your life. You can think of it as the glass half empty of, well, I'm not mature yet, but you can also think of it as the best time to get in there and wire your brain to be the adult you want to be. 20-somethings change incredibly fast, and this is why.
Nobody's used it yet, as far as I know, in actual court, the undeveloped frontal lobe defense, like the Twinkie defense.
Right. I'll bet it's been tried, or I bet we'll hear about it, absolutely.
Right. Because certainly youthful indiscretion is seen as a mitigating factor.
Right.
Dee in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dee.
Hi. I remember being 21 and in college, and I remember going through a period of depression. And I know I wasn't the only one that had gone through this period of depression. A couple of my girlfriends had gone through it as well. And I was just wondering if there was any correlation with sort of gaining a sense of autonomy and sort of being depressed, I guess.
Absolutely. Depression and anxiety are incredibly common in 20-year-olds, especially in their early 20s. They tend to get better by the later 20s. That's some good news for 20-somethings out there. And one reason people do feel better across their 20s is when they invest in adult roles and they feel that personality maturation kicking in, and they feel like they do have not just overwhelming freedom, but that they have competence and competencies and areas of their life that are coming together. That makes people feel better. So a lot of 21-year-olds out there are depressed, and many, if not most of them, are going to feel better across their 20s if they play their cards right.
Dee, you did seem to talk about your depression as in the past tense. Do you think it was life experience that lifted it?
Sorry,
Dee. You start that answer over. I'm sorry, we lost you for a second.
Okay. Yes, I would say absolutely. I think there was a portion of me that had no idea what I wanted to do or where I fit in this world. I think as I graduated college, I sort of began to get a better understanding of that, and that I did have a place, you know, in this thing called life. So,
sure.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. There are also just biologically, Dr. J, some mental disorders that tend to express themselves around the age of 20, aren't there?
That's true. Depression is one of them, as is bipolar depression. So there are schizophrenia often comes onto the scene in the late teens or early 20s. So it can be a very tumultuous time for people, and that is partly because the brain is going through so many changes. It's not done maturing. So you often don't really see the finished product of brain development until around the mid-20s.
And here's a question for you that came in on our Twitter stream. The person asks, how do drugs, street or prescribed, affect the development of 20-somethings' brains?
Oh, well, that's a big question. I don't know if we have time for all I will say that if we go with prescribed, I work with a lot of clients who feel overwhelming anxiety about their 20-something years, and there was a great story about this recently in New York Magazine, and that the rise of anti-anxiety medication is clear, that people feel that, you know, pills are helping them cope with the anxiety that they feel in their 20s and beyond, and they can serve a very important function. At the same time, these are also great years to learn your own coping skills for anxiety and for depression, so that those are skills you can take with you if you don't want to be on medication for an extended period of time.
Greg in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So my question, actually, I grew up in a bilingual family, so I was speaking Russian and English when I was a child. And when I was in high school and middle school, I studied Spanish. But in my 20s, I moved to China and learned how to speak Mandarin Chinese. So what's happening now is my Russian and English are still fluent, but the Chinese has seemed to block out the Spanish. And, you know, I'm just wondering about linguistic ability and the ability to study languages. Is your 20s sort of the last time you can really grasp the language fully?
Great question. Is this in your expertise, Dr. J?
Not fully, but I will say your 20s is a great time to learn another language. It's you know, we can speak in generalities that it's going to be harder the older that you get, but 20-something brains are still very plastic and very malleable and very hungry for new information. So it's a great time to learn another language.
Tony in Boonton, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tony.
Hi. Doctor, I have a question for you, and I really enjoy this kind of topic. The Greeks really had the most developed sense of linear language with their algebra and if A equals B. Mm-hmm. We're losing linear language. Can you tell me why? We're living in a kind of symbiotic world now where the right brain is so mathematical that if we keep doing this and we lose linear language, why isn't the brain functioning the way the Greeks did?
That's not the question that I thought he was going to ask, but if you have an answer to it, feel free.
Gosh, I think what came up for me when you were talking is that I think 20-somethings would just kill for a linear life where they felt that it was clear that this should go before that, before the next thing, and before the next thing. And I think in our culture today, that's just not the way life's set up anymore. And I think it's very hard on the brain. It's very hard on the 20-something brain to think about, I've got to do a lot of different things at the same time, gradually over time.
And they had a certain amount of linear thinking in ancient Greece. They also had a lot of slavery and stuff. So, I don't know. Shouldn't over-glorify certain times in the past. Louise in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Brian. I had a question for the doctor. I have a returning college student. She's graduating in this weekend, actually, and I'm already preparing myself for the fact that she might come home and feel depressed, and I know she's having anxiety about leaving her housemates. And I'm wondering, as a parent, you know, what can I do to prepare? How can I help her? It's a tough time. She's looking for work, and I'd just like some advice.
Sure. It is a tough time. Well, congratulations to your daughter for graduating, Louise. That's wonderful. I think you're very smart to be prepared. She's going to be overwhelmed. That you know, life has been about semester-sized chunks with very clear tasks, and now she's looking at 40 years and trying to figure out, where do I start? What do I do with this? And so I think you do what you know to do as a good parent, and you help her take it one step at a time of, how do we start looking for a job? How do we start thinking about people that we might like to go to date or to be in a relationship with? And we just take it slowly, one step at a time, and help her realize her first choices aren't going to be her last choices, but just to go out there and start making choices that make sense, that she can build on.
Okay, thank you.
Louise, thank you very much. And we're going to leave it there for today with Dr. Meg Jay, author of the book, The Defining Decade, Why Your 20s Matter and How to Make the Most of Them Now. She is joining us every Thursday this month in roughly the 10:30 time spot. Continue continuing to talk about different aspects of development and people in their 20s. This was really, really interesting today, and I know you helped a lot of people out there. There were so many calls for advice, so thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Brian. It was fun.
In next week's topic with Meg J., confidence in the workplace.